trending right now in Calgary.
Well, the Jays lose a heartbreaker in 14 innings to the Rangers. 6-4, the final. Texas takes that. They lead this series 2-0. Houston and Kansas City now tied at 4 runs apiece in the sixth. Later tonight, Chicago at St. Louis, and the Mets are in Los Angeles to take on the Dodgers. Flames are on the road. They're in Vancouver. They'll take on the Canucks tomorrow night. There is action at the Dome as the Hitmen play host to the Red Deer Rebels. We'll have it for you beginning at 7 o'clock tonight.
Proud to call Calgary home. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. When you own an Audi certified pre-owned vehicle, you own reliability. A vehicle that passed a 300-plus dealer inspection process and comes with a 6-year, 100K limited warranty.
Coming up a little later on, Eric DeHatchek from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com. We'll also check in with Howard from Road Sport Auto Credit. That's where you'll find us this afternoon, 1734 50th Street Southeast, the little house on the corner. By the way, come in today because they're giving away a car. Today, a car, a 2003 two-door, five-speed, flaming red Sunfire. All you have to do is come in, drop your name in the bucket. Simple as that. Who couldn't use an extra car? You got a kid in college, kid learning to drive, or just maybe you need something to get you from point A to point B on the weekend. Perfect vehicle for that. So come on in. Road Sport Auto Credit, 1734 50th Street Southeast. Will Mull joins us right now with our headlines.
You mentioned it, Rob. Heartbreaking Toronto as the Blue Jays fall 6-4 in 14 innings today to the Texas Rangers and now trail that best of five series 2-0, heading back to Texas for game three on Sunday and a possible game four on Monday. And John Gibbons knows won't be very easy to take two in Texas.
Sure, it won't be easy. You know, they got a great team over there, and they outplayed us both games. It was, you know, today was a great ball game, and they came out on top. You know, they outlasted us, so but it doesn't surprise me because, you know, they got that good a team.
Further to John Gibbons' point about them outplaying the Blue Jays, Josh Donaldson would agree.
We battled all day early on. I don't think we came out as sharp as we'd like to. But, you know, we battled and we grinded all day. And, I mean, they have a good team over there. And they played well just as, I mean, they played better than us today.
So take the umpires out of the equation. Texas just playing pretty good baseball through two games, Rob.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Pat brought up a really good point about them earlier. You know, we never did hear from Pat. He's here, was here, he left. But they play small ball really well. And you know what? The Jays were chasing. They got that lead in the eighth. The Napoli hit really kind of, you know, set the stage. But you can talk about the officiating and the umpiring all you want. They had inning after inning after inning where they could have walked off and won this. And this is the best offensive team in Major League Baseball this year. This is what they're supposed to be about. I keep coming back to this is just plain and simply not a good team in close games. Look at their one-run record this year. I know they lost by two, but they had to find a way. I mean, this is a huge uphill battle. Just two teams in the history of Major League Baseball have come back from a 2-0 deficit after having both games at home. They losing both games at home to come back and win a best of five. So history's not in their favor. This is an uphill battle. But you got to try, and they will, starting Sunday back in Arlington.
If there was one piece of positive news from that, it is the 2001 Yankees that did it, the 2012 Giants. They both did it. They both reached the World Series when they did it. So take that for what
it's worth. Recent. And it's recent.
Absolutely, absolutely. So 6-4, the final there in Toronto this afternoon as the Blue Jays fall and now trail that series 2-0. Going on right now live, and they're heading to the top of the seventh inning. Kansas City and Houston tied 4 games apiece. Houston won the opener yesterday over Kansas City, and that was a 5-2 final. Today they're tied at 4 as Kansas City, not the Blue Jays, not the only home team having struggles in the division series.
Nobody's winning at home right now. The two wild cards went to the road teams so far in the postseason. The three games that have been finished have all gone to the road teams. I think it's more coincidence than anything else. Yeah. But right now, I mean, you know, you got to have a little faith if you're the Kansas City Royals. You've been in this position before. Say what you will. The Jays, although they have players with playoff experience, this group does not have playoff experience. And I wonder a little bit if that hasn't come back to bite them so far.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to think it definitely played a role for sure. Two games coming up a little bit later on today. And in fact, half an hour away from First pitch in St. Louis, Cardinals welcome the Cubs for game one of their best of five NLDS. And game one in L.A., Dodgers and Mets going at it. The Mets with the second best record in the National League since they acquired Yoenis Cespedes at the trade deadline at the end of July. So a great matchup in both those contests. John Lester on the hill for the Cubs. John Lackey on the hill for the Cardinals. Jacob DeGrom will pitch for the Mets, and Clayton Kershaw will go for the L.A. Dodgers. A couple of good games still to come here this afternoon, Rob.
They're all well. It's the postseason. They're
absolutely
all good games. I mean, look, I'd be lying to you beyond the Jays. I mean, obviously, that's got this country's attention. Yeah. But the Cubs are very interesting to me because we all know the historical relevance of that. We also know that on staff we have a season ticket holder who, you know, really, he's very vocal about his support for his club, as he should be. Maybe at the expense of other teams, but he should be. So, no, but I'm excited about watching the Cubbies play and that series against St. Louis. When you think about it, the strength of that division and how much better it was than everybody else in baseball, that should be awesome.
Yeah, and that's the story from the world of the Major League Baseball. All four series in action today. As I mentioned, still two games to come with half an hour away from first pitch in St. Louis with the Cardinals and the Chicago Cubs. Five games on the NHL schedule tonight, including one, two, and that's it for Canadian teams. Two of them in action, Winnipeg and Toronto. All eyes on Detroit, Rob. 5:30 faceoff. Mike Babcock makes his return to Joe Louis Arena. They didn't wait for this one. Just game two of the season for Toronto. Game one for the Red Wings. And Mike Babcock says focus on the game, not his storyline.
The storyline tonight is the Red Wings play the Leafs, and two original six franchises, one that's holding its rightful place and one that's trying to get back to where they should be. You know, I look forward to the game. We need the points badly. We dropped our first one, and so it's important we get on the winning side quickly.
The Leafs did drop their opener 3-1 to Montreal on Wednesday night. Detroit, as I mentioned, is their season opening game. 5:30 faceoff. You can watch it on Sportsnet West. The Winnipeg Jets in New Jersey to take on the Devils. That game is a 5 o'clock start. As Winnipeg is coming off that massive win yesterday against Boston, 6-2 over the Bruins. Other games in action tonight, the Rangers in Columbus to battle the Blue Jackets. The Islanders will open up in Brooklyn as they play host to the Chicago Blackhawks, and LA at home to Arizona for an 8:30 faceoff a little later on tonight.
The interesting thing for me about Babcock going back to Detroit is, didn't they just go back to Detroit last week at the end of the postseason?
Yep.
Or the preseason, I should say. Wasn't that kind of a dry run, so to speak, for this?
Certainly,
I mean,
was.
It's hard for me, and I know it's not a Calgary story, and quite honestly, it's more of a local Toronto and Detroit story, but because it's Toronto, they get covered, you know, nationally and all that, it just seems a little disingenuous that I thought we went through this last week. I know the points were on the table, but what's changed?
I guess the only thing that hasn't that would be different, Rob, is the video tribute that he may get in the TV timeout. Right? I mean, seriously.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Yes. I will add to this, though. Winnipeg, boy, did they look good last night in Boston. And the Bruins look like they might be what we'd all kind of wondered, but that's one game. I really want to caution that it's all one game. I'm very curious to see what happens in Los Angeles tonight with the Arizona Coyotes coming in, the Kings having their lunch handed to them two nights ago. Wonder how that one plays itself out.
Should mention in that game, by the way, Max Domi will make his NHL debut for the Arizona Coyotes in action against the Kings. And the New Jersey Devils, who I mentioned playing host to Winnipeg tonight, will do so with a new captain, Andy Green, named the 11th captain in franchise history. Patrick Elias, Travis Zajac, Mike Camilleri, and Adam Henrique will serve as alternate captains on a rotating basis based on home and away games. So Andy Green is the new captain of the New Jersey Devils. Elsewhere in the world, the NHL today, off the ice, the Hurricanes suffered some bad news today as James Wisniewski's season could be over. He suffered a torn ACL in last night's loss to the Nashville Predators. Of course, he was acquired from the Ducks in June for backup goaltender Anton Khudobin. Wow. And just happened 47 seconds into his Hurricanes debut.
Wow. Wow, man. It's an unforgiving game. It is, you know, I have very limited expectations for the Carolina Hurricanes, but let's be perfectly honest. The Carolina Hurricanes, you know, say what you will, are a better team with James Wisniewski in the lineup than they are without. And they hardly got to know him, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's tough.
Simone Dupre signs a 5-year contract extension with the Anaheim Ducks today worth $18.5 million. Dupre made an impressive rise with the Ducks after they acquired him back on March 2nd last year, which was the trade deadline in a trade with Pittsburgh. So Dupre gets a new deal with the Anaheim Ducks.
Boy, I like that one. I'd like that one all along. Nothing against Ben Lovejoy, but opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of age. Still an upside for Dupre, and he just fits and complements what they're building in Anaheim on that back end with Fowler and Hampus Lindholm and you know, the Manson kid. I know I'm missing other ones, but he's right in there. You know, that's the one thing about the Anaheim Ducks that's maybe more impressive than a lot of the other teams that are, you know, that are definite favorites, is that, you know, their shelf life is going to be a lot long, potentially could be a lot longer. Now the cap and, you know, what they do there will probably play a role in it, but they have Perry and Getzlaff locked up for the next little while. They're still pretty serviceable players, to say the least. They've got young goaltenders that they've got control of. They got young defensemen they got control of. I like, you know, Jacob Silverberg. There's a lot of pieces. Maybe they don't have that high-end offensive youngster, but they got time to find that.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned it, too, building from the back end out. They're set in between the pipes and blue liners when you're talking about youth in the NHL. Center Mike Richards and the LA Kings have settled their dispute over the termination of his contract back in June following his arrest at the Manitoba border. NHLPA announced the settlement today, making Richards an unrestricted free agent officially in the NHL. 5 years left with $22 million on that big 12-year deal he signed back with Philadelphia. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion that's seen his offensive production decline sharply in the past couple of years. And terms of the settlement not disclosed, but it's now been out there that it looks like Richards' contract, or parts of it, will be on the Kings' cap until 2031.
Yep. They are going to be paying a cap penalty for him till 2031. What I don't understand, and I intend to ask Eric Dehatchik about this, is this a circumvention of the system? Did they, you know, should this not have been a regular buyout?
Right.
A regular buyout would have been a bigger impact on the LA Kings. And, you know, I'm sorry, I'm just distrustful of the whole situation. I would like to have seen a resolution one way or the other on whether or not what the Kings did was in terms of terminating his contract and when, under the guidance and the principle of which they did that, or the term which they did that. We never found out the answer. They've come to an amicable split between the PA and the league and everybody, but it almost feels a little bit like CBA circumvention to me. That's just on the surface. I don't know the details, and I eagerly await kind of the reporting on this and the explanation. But you know that if they had to go the regular buyout route, they didn't use a compliance. They had an opportunity to do a compliance buyout. It just seems to me that, you know, this became somewhat of a circumstance that they tried to exploit, that, you know, they got a player who got into trouble, so let's jump on it, and how can it benefit us? Well, we can get out from underneath this contract. Well, you know, the implication of the cap, albeit it's going to be there for a long, long time, it's not what it would have been had they gone the route that's spelled out in the CBA.
And we don't know what that penalty is until 2031, right? Like, I haven't seen financial terms displayed anywhere when it comes to what they're actually paying.
No, those, I'm sure they're out there. If not, they'll be out here in the next little while.
Right.
But they will be a far cry from what it would have been had they had to go the traditional buyout route.
Fair enough. Okay, before we move away from hockey, you mentioned it in Trending Now. The Calgary Hitmen at home tonight against the Red Deer Rebels. We'll have it for you right here, Sportsnet 960 The Fan, following this live show from Road Sport Auto Credit at 7 o'clock. It is the Calgary Hitmen at home to the Red Deer Rebels. Both teams, great starts to the season as they both sit at 4-1 through 5 games with 8 points. It should be quite the game tonight at the Dome, Rob.
Look, we haven't seen this Hitmen team very much. We saw them early on. They went out on the road. They beat a very good Brandon team. Look, the Red Deer Rebels are the host of the Memorial Cup. They're going to be, you know, a team in contention all year, and Brent Sutter's club is certainly, I would imagine, going to be right in the thick of it. You never want to back into the Memorial Cup. You always want to be there through the front door. There are two teams that are, I believe, the Hitmen and Rebels are in the top 10 in the MasterCard.
I think that is correct. The Hitmen were ranked number 3.
I know that. I know there's a couple of dub teams that were in consideration, but I think it's the Rebels. and doesn't matter. They're amongst the best, and this is always a good rivalry, so this should be a good matchup.
And as a start of a home-and-home, I should mention they're in Red Deer tomorrow to finish off that weekend with the Hitmen and Rebels. So as it's a 7 o'clock puck drop. You can catch it live right here, ATB Financial Hitmen Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Week in the CFL does continue as well tonight, as it's the Saskatchewan Roughriders in Hamilton to take on the Tiger Cats. This is a pretty big mismatch on paper, Rob, but we'll see what happens as Hamilton will play their second game without quarterback Zach Caleros. If you remember, they dropped last weekend's game to the Calgary Stampeders in game one without their star quarterback. Here is game number two, and they're in a dogfight right now with Toronto and Ottawa trying to take top spot in the East Division.
You know, it's an interesting time to be in the CFL. It really is. What are we evaluating the Tiger Cats on? The Zach Caleros Tiger Cats or the Matthews-led Tiger Cats? You know, the seasons are long gone. You know, this has been terrible for the Riders tonight. But that East is so competitive. That East with, you know, Montreal or Toronto winning this week against Ottawa. You know, Montreal, they've got some games with their own in the division. But right now, this game tomorrow, and I know you're not talking about this game tomorrow, but this game tomorrow at McMahon Stadium is huge because it's healthy quarterbacks, relatively healthy teams, although I guess the Stampeders are beaten up in the secondary. But this is a marquee matchup, and this league right now can use a marquee matchup. I'm not sure Hamilton and Saskatchewan's a marquee matchup tonight.
No, I am certainly with you on that one. 5:30 kickoff from Tim Hortons Field in Hamilton. Rob did mention Calgary at home to Edmonton tomorrow. That is a 5 o'clock kickoff. We'll hear more on that matchup a little later on with our very own Matt Rose, who caught up at walkthroughs today at McMahon, getting ready for that matchup tomorrow afternoon. Canada is one step closer, Rob. They're under-22 men's soccer team is one victory away from the Rio Summer Games and erasing 31 years of Olympic absence, as they would do so with a victory, and they would make it to 2016. The losing teams still do have another shot at Rio. They'll meet in the third-place match on Tuesday, but Canada in a semifinal matchup in Salt Lake City against Mexico tomorrow. And we'll see what happens there. But very cool as Canada's men's soccer team could find their way back in the Olympics.
Yeah, they need to get back on the international stage. We hunger for it. We're waiting for it. The women have been able to do it successfully. It's time now for the men to do it. Albeit this isn't the World Cup. The Olympics is a big stage. Mexico, always tough, though. This is not an easy out.
No, it certainly is not. Canada will face Mexico, and the United States meets Honduras in the other semifinals. So those are the final four teams. The winners get automatic berths to Rio. So Canada will try to do that tomorrow afternoon against Mexico in Salt Lake City. And Rob, that's your headlines on a Friday.
Well, I appreciate that. We will take a break when we come back. Very special guest here at Roseport Auto Credit, 1734 50th Street Southeast. Little House on the Corner. We'll tell you why we're here, and we'll also tell you what you can win by just showing up today. Pretty simple. As well, Eric Dehatchek from the Globe and Mail will join us at 4:45. Then at Flames at 5, because it's Friday, we do Eric, and Derek. Eric Francis from the Calgary Sun and Sportsnet will join us. Lots to talk about with both of those gentlemen. And Derek Wills is in Vancouver as the Flames get set to take on the Canucks. He'll join us about 5:30 or so. Jays lose in 14 to Texas, 6-4 the final today. Texas now leads that best of five series. That's the problem. It's a best of five series, 2-0. Bottom of the seventh right now, Kansas City and Houston are tied at 4. That's a look at your out-of-town scoreboard. We'll come back with more here on The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Trending right now in Calgary.
Texas beating Toronto 6-4 in 14 innings. The Rangers head home with a 2-0 lead in that best of five. Elsewhere, Kansas City's now jumped out in front of Houston 5-4 in the bottom of the seventh. The Astros lead. That's best of five, 1-0. Later tonight, Chicago and St. Louis and the Dodgers play host to the Mets. Calgary Flames have landed in Vancouver in preparation for their game against the Canucks tomorrow night. Jonas Hiller gets the start, and it looks like Josh Juris might be out. Mason Raymond will be in at the Dome tonight, 7 o'clock, and we'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Calgary Hitmen play host to the Red Deer Rebels.
Brought to you by Carproof. Have you got some dirty little secrets? Bet your car does. Find out about past accidents, unfixed recalls, and more with a free Carproof report. Get the proof at carproof.com.
Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, last year, if you listened to Flames broadcast, we did something pretty cool and something really unique. After wins at home, a car was given away. This year, it's even bigger. It's even better. Roadsport Auto Credit coming back on board, 1734 50th Street Southeast, Little House on the Corner. Howard Ackman is our guest. He is the man, the myth, the legend behind everything here at Roadsport Auto Credit. So you're back, and now you've decided that this Battle of Alberta is something you want to invest in, too, because this year, not giving one car away with Edmonton-Calgary games, but three.
We're going to give away three every time Edmonton plays at the Dome for a home game. They say they're better. I say they're not. And I'm going to entice our fans to come in and voice their opinion by trying to win a car. We'll give away three each night when Edmonton's in town.
That is pretty awesome. And as a matter of fact, we're kind of kicking it off today because you got a draw today for a 2003 Sunfire, a two-door, five-speed. It's right out there, right on the curb. People can come by and check it. Howard, tell us a little bit about Roadsport Auto Credit. I mean, you guys fill a real void, a real need in the car buying public, right?
Roadsport's been around for almost 16 years. We sell cars to people that traditionally can't get bank financing. We have lenders that will approve you, provided you have two pay stubs, you're working, and you have the ability to make car payments. We'll get you approved.
Tell us about the vehicles here, too, because it's not that these are good cars, Howard. I get that. That's the thing. These are vehicles that you could drive off the lot and be relied upon.
All vehicles we have are fully inspected. They come with a two-year warranty. Most of them are anywhere from 2009 to 2014 with very low kilometers on it. They're all looking for a good home.
What do you got on the lot right now?
We've got a really nice 2009 GMC Terrain. There's a 2014 Ford Focus, a little 2013 Ford Fiesta, quite a few trucks, Dodge trucks, 13s, 14s, and 4x4s, SUVs. We pretty well have something for everyone.
You know, we talk about people with difficult credit, but also somebody like myself who's got a teenage daughter that's looking for a reverse vehicle. This is a pretty good place.
Ideal spot for first-time buyers.
Isn't it?
Regardless of your situation.
Sure.
You want to, if you're looking to pay cash, we can accommodate you with a really good price. You need financing first time to get a loan. We've got lenders that will give you a chance.
Easy to find, easy to get here. People coming in for the first time. I think I asked you this last year, but I love the answer to it, so I'm going to ask it again. What are the questions that somebody should ask you when they come in? What information should they be looking for?
Well, the big thing is to look for what our lenders are looking for. They need proof of income. The big thing is that you have two pay stubs. You bring in a bank statement last 60 days to show that the consistency of your pay stubs going into the account. They don't want to see that you have NSF checks. Bring in a pre-authorization form. If you're unable to get insurance, we can get you with several companies that we have connections with that can get you insurance within the next hour, 2 hours. You can be driving home away today if you came in.
Part of the reason you can do this is the success that you've had for so long, right? I mean, there's experience here. This isn't a fly-by-night pop-up thing. You've been doing this for a while.
I've been doing this myself for 34 years.
Right.
And I've built up a rapport with lenders, insurance companies, finance companies that will give us an approval within 2 minutes of us just sending them the application.
We are live at Roadsport Auto Credit. Come down and check it out, 1734 50th Street Southeast, Little House on the Corner. I mentioned before, you're the proud sponsor of the Three Stars on Flames broadcast, and anybody can come in, enter their name, and you give away a car after every home game. Then what happens? You call them and go, come on down? Because it's a different vehicle every time.
Every game, we take in trades on most of our deals. And instead of just selling them in an auction, we let the public have an opportunity of winning them and let them come in and see where we are and see what we're about.
So what was the response last year?
Last year, we probably averaged for every home game, we had between 10 and 15 people show up.
Right. What about the people that won, though? What were their responses?
They were ecstatic.
Yeah.
They were ecstatic.
No kidding. Because it almost seems too good to be true, but it's...
They couldn't believe they actually won something.
People love winning, Howard. They really love winning.
They love to win. I would have liked to seen our Blue Jays win.
Well,
today.
You're right. But we didn't have anything on the line for that, right? Once again, reminding everybody to stop in today because there is a 2003 two-door, five-speed flaming red Sunfire. We put a little video up on it, actually, on Twitter. It's a really sharp-looking vehicle.
No, it is. It's sitting outside, ready to go. We'll even throw in the four Flames flags we have on it.
See? It just gets better and better. How do people find you? This is the best place to come. Can they find you online? What should they do?
Several ways. We're right on the corner of 17th and 50th, right across the Little House, or we are the Little House, across from Sobeys. You can go online to our website, roadsportautocredit.com. You can apply online for credit, or you can phone direct to our phone, 403-273-7200. And we've got credit advisors standing by waiting for your phone call.
It's funny because I'm looking through the material that you provide for us, and this $29 is big because it's highlighted, it's bolded, it's blown up. Like, people have to understand, it's $29.
$29 is all you have to bring in for your down payment. It's not when you show up, we want $500, we want $1,000. We only want $29.
How many vehicles on the lot?
There's about 70 on the lot right now. In our inventory, we have about 200 online.
Okay, so you can pretty much, because I was saying before, I was thinking of it as from a father, my daughter's learning to drive, you know, perfect place to get it. But as well, you mentioned trucks. We are into the fall. Outdoors people, hunters, always looking for that 4x4, always looking for that second truck to go out in the bush with. Probably some opportunity there, too.
There's a great selection of 4x4s right now.
Yeah. Howard, as always, man, I appreciate you inviting us down here. This is cool. I know we're coming down quite regularly this year, so I'm looking forward to that. We'll get you on a little later on, but what time are you open till and what are the hours, too?
We're open from Monday to Friday from 9 till 7, Saturday 9 till 6, and we're also open Sundays 10 till 4, and every holiday we're open except Christmas Day.
RoadsportAutoCredit.com as well as the website, right?
That's right.
Okay, I think we got it all, don't we? And three vehicles when the Oilers come to
when
town.
When the Oilers come to town, we'll kick their butts and give away three cars.
I like your thinking. Howard, thanks for doing this.
My pleasure.
Howard from Roadsport Auto Credit, right here at 1734 50th Street Southeast. The little house on the corner, you can't miss us. Come down and take a look at the vehicles. They're pretty awesome. If you're following me on Twitter, you will see that I put out a little video. Ron and I were so proud of me because I was able to do this video and get it up onto Twitter the first time. But you can take a look at the car we're giving away, which is pretty cool. Who couldn't use a 2003 two-door, five-speed Red Sunfire? And we're giving it away today. Eric DeHatchuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com. When we come back, NHL topics that also include Mike Richards gets the buyout. Well, I'm not sure it's a buyout. We'll talk to Eric about that. It looks, you know, quite honestly, it smells a little bit to me. It seems a little fishy as well. Flames, LA, there's a handful of teams that just did not have good opening nights. How much should we read into that? We'll get into it with Eric DeHatchuk when we come back here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
On the NHL beat, it's the big show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 hockey insider Eric Duhatchek, brought to you by Eastside Kia's award celebration. Save $4,000 on a 2015 Kia Sportage all-wheel drive. Pay just $25,310 or finance for just $155 biweekly. See eastsidekia.ca.
Well, the National Hockey League's two days old into the regular season, and already a lot of news within the body of this season. But we start today with Eric with a story that really began towards the end of last year, and that is we've come to a decision. We've come to an agreement. The parting of the ways between the Los Angeles Kings and Mike Richards, a deal which sees the Kings have, some sort of cap penalty or something count against their caps till 2031 for divesting themselves of this player.
Interesting story, and an important story too. You know, the one thing about it, because I heard you in the promo saying that you thought it smelled a little bit from your perspective.
Yes.
Well, so to recap for people that haven't been following it as closely as we have, that you know the Kings terminated Mike Richards' contract, for reasons of what they said, a material breach, and
right.
And you know, in the meantime, he was charged with the possession of prescription drugs crossing the border. So the case was going. I mean, the matter still has to be dealt with legally in Emerson, Manitoba, in the early part of December. But the more important thing from a National Hockey League perspective was the Kings were trying to get out of paying him $22 million over the last 5 years because of this material breach that they argued, and it was going to arbitration, although no date had been set yet. But George Nikolaou, who's, arbitrated, lots and lots of important sports decisions in the past, couple of decades, has already been appointed an arbitrator. So, an arbitration in this particular case works like a court of law. You have, you have a judge, and there's either like a guilty verdict or a not guilty verdict. So you're either going to jail or you're going to be free. It's an either-or situation. And in this particular case, both sides had a lot to lose. You know, so the National Hockey League Players Association had filed this grievance on behalf of Mike Richards. And if they lost, then this would open the door for other teams to claim a material breach for any number of things. And I think that that was a can of worms that they weren't that interested in pursuing. So they had a vested interest in settling. And the Kings did too. I mean, I think that they, in their particular case, they did not, you know, they made a mistake when they didn't offer a buyout to Richards 2 years ago when those would have been amnestied and it would have just cost them the dollars on the contract. So, you know, there was a risk that if they had lost the case, they would be on the hook for the full balance of this. So, you know, we know a little bit about the cap recapture penalty. We don't know how many actual dollars are going into Mike Richards' pocket. That's something that hopefully we'll be able to nail down in the next, you know, little while. You know, a lot of times people are more willing to talk about this several days after the fact or several weeks after the fact rather than on the day. But it sounds as if both sides are satisfied with the outcome. I wouldn't say happy with the outcome,
right,
but I think both are satisfied, and it makes the matter go away. And I think that that's the thing that both wanted. They wanted this thing, you know, they wanted it put to bed. I mean, from a King's perspective, so this is the last of the three incidents that really dogged them last year. There was the Jarrett Stoll thing. There was this thing. There was the Slava Voynov thing. So they've managed to make them all go away. So they're one game into their season. They played lousy in that game. But I think the hope is that now that last year's baggage is put behind them, they can focus on the task at hand, which is trying to get back into the playoffs.
But you understand why, from my vantage point, and it's, you know, I use this term with you all the time. It's kind of the crazy sports talk show host where you want to yell and scream about something. That vantage point being that, you know, had they gone the traditional buyout route, it would have been a pretty steep penalty to buy this player out in terms of the cap hit. I find, you mentioned it before, the three. Jarrett Stoll leaves as a free agent. Slava Voynov goes back to Russia. But they never tried this with Slava Voynov. If I understand it correctly, they still retain his NHL rights, do they not?
Yeah, and they claimed, although whether that it's true or not, that they were going to go down the same path. If Voynov hadn't, you know, jumped, you know, they would have pushed him. And they are on the record. It was part of their official release when the Voynov thing resolved itself. You know, and you can sort of call it a threat after the fact, but it's there in black and white. You know, if this player hadn't voluntarily left the country and sought employment, you know, somewhere in Russia, I think he's playing for St. Petersburg, yep, that they would have tried the material breach approach with him too. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, now that this one has been put away, if somewhere down the road another team also goes down this path, because you know, there's lots of ways. I mean, the standard player's contract is, you know, I mean, I don't look at it very often because I'm just, you know, I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah.
So you need, you know, I prefer to have somebody who is a lawyer explain to me the language. And in this particular case, the NHL was prepared to fight this because they felt that they had enough evidence to be able to argue this in front of an arbitrator. That is not the same as having enough evidence to argue it in a criminal case. So, you know, because there's burdens of proof are different, what you can admit into evidence is different, and it gets all complicated. And I'm sure that everybody that's listening right now is, you know, their eyes are glazing over. The most important thing from a hockey perspective is that, you know, from the National Hockey League's perspective and from the Players Association's perspective, this matter is put to bed. And I think that both of them hope that from here on in, if teams have a dispute, they don't go down this path, that you know, the teams buy out players, because that's what they collectively bargained. You know, when a player is underperforming and you no longer have a need or a reason to have him, you know, there are provisions to, you know, that in the same way, like, you get tired of me, they get tired of you, you know, we negotiate a severance package, you know, off we go, and we go to work for somebody else. And that was collectively bargained. And I think that the hope on both sides is that they just stick to that rather than going down the path that the Kings went down with Mike Richards.
What does your gut tell you? I mean, it would be an extreme case, but now that, I hate to say the door's been opened, because it was never really fully open. We don't know what the end result would be, but is it out of the realm of possibility within the lifetime of this CBA that another team might try to go down the material breach road again?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think it's possible. It would depend on what the breach is and what the dollars on the contract were. You know, the part of the reason that the Kings went down this, because there was just a lot of money at stake, $22 million. That's a lot of money, even for an organization as rich as AEG, which owns the Kings. That's a lot of money to pay someone not to play. And frankly, I think that there was a little bit of they took it personally, I think. And that's, you know, lots of people have tried to compare this to the Voinov thing and to the Stoll thing. The reason that they took it so personally was that, you know, if you remember, after the Kings beat the Rangers in the Stanley Cup, it was a topic of conversation going into that series. The Rangers had Brad Richards, the Kings had Mike Richards. Both of these guys were underachieving for the contracts that they had. It was the last opportunity to exercise a compliance buyout. And the Rangers did it with Brad Richards and said, you know, we love this guy, but we don't love him at however many millions of dollars were left on the contract. And the Kings sat down with Mike Richards, and he said, it looked the general manager in the eye, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to, you know, prove to you that I'm not on this steady decline, because he hadn't played very well for a couple of years for them. And there were issues about, you know, like how, you know, he'd had multiple concussions. Was that affecting his play? The game was so much faster. He was never very quick. You know, could Mike Richards play? And so they made a decision that everyone thought was a bad business decision, but they did it because of out of a loyalty for a player that helped them win two cups. You know, he had a greater impact, obviously, in the first one than the second. He was, I would say, suggest he was more of a passenger or a bit player. I mean, however you want to, you know, support guy on that second championship team. But they did it out of loyalty. And, you know, like, it's hard for me because I prize loyalty and friendships and business relationships and everything. So, you know, it's hard to be critical of somebody making a decision out of reasons of loyalty. But I also think they felt that loyalty was betrayed because he didn't play any better. And then he ran into some issues. And so I think that's, you know, part of why it went down that path. They felt a little betrayed by him.
Eric Datchik from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com. So much baseball in the last couple of days here on the radio station. It really hasn't allowed for much of a conversation, at least I haven't had much of a conversation about kind of the fallout of a early part of the season. And you've done this a little longer than me, but I've done it for a while. There is a tendency to overreact to season openers and home openers. Are there teams that, I mean, clearly the local hockey heroes took one on the chin, but what do you make of the first couple of days, or do you wait till next week before we really reserve judgment?
Yeah, I always throw out the first game, even the first week of the season. It just takes time for everyone to find their game and their place. I mean, you know, I think the NHL preseason is starting to look a little bit like the NFL. I mean, if you remember, you know, the NFL now, you know, starters don't seem to play the final game. You know, they get into a little bit of action in the third game of a four-game NFL preseason. And the big thing is that you just don't want your key players hurt. And, you know, and I think that more and more NHL teams are going down that path, too. I mean, the Flames lost TJ Brody and Joe Colburn. And, you know, you can be sure it's like, oh, God, you know, in a meaningless game, that, you know, these guys were going to be on the team, they were going to play, we know what they can do, there was nothing at stake. And so I just don't see teams firing on all cylinders the minute they drop the puck on the first night. And then, you know, then when you have opening night, especially when you got a young team, you know, there's all the hype, there's the excitement, there's the ceremonies. You know, I just thought, you know, watching the Flames that, you know, they were over-energized. I mean, sometimes you just have to play smart, play within yourself, play controlled. I mean, the game is all about systems these days, right? And so, you know, if you're running around and not playing your system, you get breakdowns like you saw in the first game. So I think, you know, the excess energy, you know, just not playing smart hockey. I mean, that's one game. Now, you know, if 5 games into the season or 10 games into the season, they're 2-8, then we have to start looking at root causes. But I'm prepared to dismiss opening night and even opening week because of jitters, because of, you know, trying to get everybody on the same page after having, you know, various lineups in the exhibition season. I mean, you know, in every game, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. But, I mean, I watched a lot of hockey last night. And you know, you watch, I mean, to me, the most fascinating game was the Dallas-Colorado game. Yep. I mean, I thought Colorado was terrible in the exhibition season. And all of a sudden, they're out to this 4-1 lead. And I'm thinking, yeah, brother, you know, it proves you once again how little you can read into that. And then they collapsed in the third period and ended up losing the game. It was a very entertaining hockey game. But it's just, you know, it's just too early, I guess, is what I'm saying, to see patterns and trends.
I'm not sure if you heard, but it appears everybody in Calgary has. Buffalo's lost Robin Lehner for a while, a goaltending injury, and with three goalies. I guess, naturally, every time that happens, the Calgary Flames will prick up their ears. What do you make of Lehner's injury first for Buffalo, and is there any logic to even having a conversation about possibly swapping a goalie?
Yeah, I think there is, although I have to, you know, truth be told, I did not text Brad Treliving today, so everything I'm going to say from here on is guesswork. It's not based on knowledge. But I would say, yeah, there is a fit. I mean, from what little we know already, that, you know, this is not a short-term injury. And, you know, Buffalo has a couple of guys in the minors, and they have Chad Johnson, who at different times has looked like a pretty good NHL goaltender. But I think that they really believe that they are turning a corner. We spent a lot of money on Ryan O'Reilly. They've got the Jack Eichel hype. I think that if you are not sure about your goaltending, you know, your season can go down the drain in a hurry. So I would not be surprised if the two teams have talked. I mean, you know, I think Calgary has made it clear that they would like to, you know, get rid of this goaltending surplus, and I think that they're prepared to make it happen, you know, maybe by sweetening the pot financially. So it's just a matter of trying to find a fit. And I also think that Buffalo will be calling around, because I think there's a couple of other goalie options out there. Yeah. I mean, Ben Skirvin's cleared waivers. You know, if you are strictly looking for somebody to play behind Chad Johnson, you know, I think that there are cheaper ways to go. But I think that if you really want an established, well, I mean, Jonas Hiller is the only established guy, but Kerry Rambo is a guy that I think a lot of people like too. And I believe that one of those two guys will be the odd man out when push comes to shove. So yeah, it makes perfect sense to me that they're talking, and then I guess we'll see. But it's hard for me to believe that Buffalo will go indefinitely with the status quo. It's possible that they're just waiting to get a very firm diagnosis on Lehner, and if they deem it to be 2 months, 3 months, that length of an injury, then I think you have to make a move, and I think the team best positioned to remedy their needs is Calgary.
Happy Thanksgiving, my friend. Enjoy your long weekend.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Eric Dehatchuk from the Globe and Mail, globesports.com. We start, it's Friday. That means that's the start of our Eric, and Derek block. Eric Francis coming up next. A reminder, we're live at Roadsport Auto Credit, 1734 50th Street Southeast. The little house on the corner. You know what you need? $29 and a couple of pay stubs. That's simple. A little difficulty with your credit, a little difficulty with insurance. This is the place to come. They got some great vehicles for you. As a matter of fact, today, come on down and enter before 7 o'clock. Why? Because they're giving away a 2003 two-door, five-speed, flaming red Sunfire. Maybe you got a teenager, a kid in college. Maybe you just need a second vehicle just to get up and down to the C-Train. Something as simple as that. This is the place to come. Roadsport Auto Credit, 1734 50th Street Southeast. We'll take a break. Flames at 5 for Pete the Plumber, the superhero residential plumbing and heating. Eric Francis and Derek Wills around the corner. By the way, just a quick look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Currently in the bottom of the eighth, Kansas City leading Houston 5-4. The Astros up in that series 1-0. Earlier today, tough, tough, tough afternoon for the Toronto Blue Jays and their fans. 6-4, Texas wins in 14 innings. The Rangers head home to Arlington with a stranglehold in this best of five, 2-0. You're listening to The Big Show, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.